Today on episode number 426 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, you are going to love this. It's really cool. We are talking about impacting people, and we're going to hear it both from the impactor and the impactee. We're talking with Jared Easley. He is the author of a really cool book called Podcasting, Good to Great, How to Grow Your Audience. Anyone interested now? How to Grow Your Audience Through Collaboration. And on location 367 of the Kindle book, I read, it says, I remember doing a Google search for my name before I started, Starve the Doubts. I was lucky to pop up on the second page of the search results. My name now takes up the first five pages of search results, and it happened in less than a year and a half. What's really cool about this interview today is we're going to hear how Jared reached out to one person and hear his side of the story. And then I reached out to the person that he impacted and got their side of the story. It's really cool. I'm smiling because I know what's coming and I can't wait for you to hear it. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to promoting to podcast gear, all points in between. I bring my 20 plus years of technical training to the microphone, and I flatten that learning curve, and I get you on the path to pain-free podcasting. Our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, it's schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. And like I said, I am really psyched about today's episode. It's going to be really, really cool. But before we get to that, do you know what September 30th is? Well, I got news for you. Mark your calendars, kids.
National Podcast Day is coming September 30th. But what is National Podcast Day? Well, it's pretty simple, and you can help spread the word. National Podcast Day is dedicated to promoting podcasting worldwide through public engagement. You may be asking, what can I do to get involved on National Podcast Day? It's easy. Head over to nationalpodcastday.com and check the suggestions. But ultimately, the options are endless. Remember, September 30th, nationalpodcastday.com.
There you go. National Podcast Day. We have our own day now. You can say, I remember back in 2014, the very first National Podcast Day. Meh. It'll be cool. Very cool. Now, here's what you can do, really. Go around with your phone and just ask random strangers, what's your favorite podcast? You can upload the video there. That's going to be one of the cool things there that I think is going to be a lot of fun. But one of my favorite parts of doing this podcast, of course, is talking to you. And we got a question from John.
Hi, Dave Jackson. This is John Morgan with Let's Talk Metal Detecting and Treasure Hunting, which is a podcast. I listened to your recording that you did with your Roland R-05 recorder at the Podcast Movement. And you did an awesome job with that. And I wondered what the trick was. You were just using the built-in microphones. And of all the people I've heard try to do that, you did it the best.
Thank you.
What was the trick? Were you using the low cut filter?
Nope.
Were you using the automatic gain control?
Yep.
Or the limiter? And how close did you guys get to the microphone? I've got an Roland R-05 recorder also, and I'd like to be able to do as good a job as you. So if you could give us some tips or tricks on that, I'd appreciate it.
John,
thanks, Dave.
Thank you, John. Sorry, I didn't mean to step over here. Find him at letstalkmetaldetectingandtreasurehunting.com. I was all excited. He said, let's talk metal. I'm like, let's talk metal. Judas Priest and Iron Maiden. Yeah. But he's actually talking a different type of metal. Hey, here's how I did that. I took, in most cases, you had a big group of people in a room, and I would take my guests and turn their back to the group and then tried to keep the microphone between the group and using basically my guests as sound shields. I did have the automatic gain control turned on. I didn't have the low-cut filter on. And then I basically put it about boob height, I guess you could call it. I basically pointed it at their chest, whoever I was talking to. And the other thing you always want to do is have headphones on so you can hear what you're actually recording And that way, if it's just sounding like caca a poo poo, you can either A, go, hold on, we need to find a new place to record, or something of that nature. But thank you so much, John, for calling that in. I hope that helps. And when in doubt, practice, practice, practice. And speaking of practicing and having room for improvement, we got a little promo here.
Thicken up your skin and get ready for a supersized serving of opinion. Delivering constructive criticism and powerful praise, it's the Podcast Review Show.
Bring the phony or something or entertaining.
I'd want to jump right into this show. Let's get it on.
You did a great job of explaining the numbers, but this would have been a good place to maybe put some of those details.
And I thought you did a great job jumping in and interrupting in a polite way to ask for further clarification. So it stopped your guest from going down a rabbit hole or continuing on with an answer that was getting away from you.
We all want to grow our audience, and it's great that you have this button here to subscribe in iTunes. That's the good news. The bad news is they are not pointing to iTunes.
You know a tremendous amount, and you offer up a lot of that information. What I'd like to see you do is lead your guests to that information and allow them to share it.
If they find you in iTunes even, they're going to see you before they hear you. So you should have a decent logo, and they do.
And I like the fact that you drive the show and you really keep things moving forward and keeping that forward momentum throughout the show. It keeps it moving.
Your guest was a little louder than you were. And I think, Eric, you had that in your notes as well.
I did. When I was listening to it, it's like, hey, donate to the show. And I'm like, whoa, I don't even know the show yet. Slow down there. I thought the call to action at the end was really strong, driving everybody back to the website for everything. I agree with Dave in the fact that it wasn't big arm twist, hard sell, push to buy your products or your services.
Join in on the conversation via voicemail, email, comments, and polls. It's all at our website, podcastreviewshow.com.
There you go. You get about 30 plus years of radio, podcasting, and web design experience at an extremely affordable rate. And if you want to get reviewed, go over to podcastreviewshow.com/review me. Well, without further ado, let me get to this awesome, awesome interview with Jared Easley. Now, you can find him over at starvethedoubts.com. And when we're talking about the book here, if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/426, if you buy the book there, of course, I get a small commission for that. So it's a way to benefit both myself and Jared at the same time. But stay tuned. There's some really cool golden nuggets here in the interview and in Matt's story coming up. There are certain things that really will make me a fan of you. And one of them is if you make me think or inspire me to do stuff. And today we are joined by Mr. Podcast Movement himself, one of the four horsemen, or the Fab Four, or whatever you want to call them, Jared Easley, also of starvethedoubts.com. Jared, thanks for coming on the show, buddy.
Oh, I appreciate that, David. And for any of your listeners who are wrestling fans, if I'm in the Four Horsemen, I want to be Ric Flair. So, woo!
But you were at Podcast Movement. You said, hey, my book came out today. It's only 99 cents, which it's not 99 cents anymore, but it's definitely worth the price of admission. And I went and bought it and started reading it 2 days ago and literally just blew through the whole thing because I just could not put it down. Because the cool thing, it's called Podcasting Good to Great, How to Grow Your Audience Through Collaboration. And so let's just start off with the typical kind of questions. What inspired you to write the book?
The book actually was a presentation that I had done on a webinar a few months before for John Lee Dumas's group, the Paradise Group. And and I remember that was kind of a way we were really trying to push ticket sales for Podcast Movement at the time. So Dan Franks and I went to John and said, hey, could we provide a presentation that's, you know, value some content piece to your group? And then, you know, at the end, just kind of say, hey, by the way, Podcast Movement, and conveniently send them to your affiliate link. And he loved it. He was like, yeah, let's do it. I've really been big on this idea of working with other people. It seems to work for me better than anything else that I've tested and tried. And I haven't been podcasting for a real long time, David. I've only been doing it for about a year and a half. But I remember those first several months were just brutal because it's like, man, how do you really grow an audience? You know, everybody says grow an audience, but how do you do it? And I had a lot of trouble, and I got so frustrated with it, David, almost quit. And maybe part of my problem was I wasn't actively listening to Podcast Coach, and shame on me, you know, but it is what it is. So, School of Podcasting. So we did a presentation on how to grow your audience through collaboration. And we just gave some of the points of the outline in the book. We went through it. And at the end, I got a lot of messages and a lot of people reaching out to me. Some of them I knew and some of them I didn't. Just really excited about what we had talked about. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. That message really hit home with a few people. And the more I thought about it, I realized, okay, that should be repurposed to another presentation or something else, because there are people who enjoy hearing that, that needed to hear that, that wanted, you know, to start looking at other ways to grow. And, you know, obviously Podcast Movement was coming up, and I knew, okay, here's an opportunity. How can I make the most of this opportunity? And I noticed a friend of mine, Ellery, he had written a book in Amazon, and he released it, and it just didn't get a lot of results that it probably should have gotten. But he teamed up several weeks after his launch with a gentleman named Jimmy Burgess, and Jimmy was actually at Podcast Movement. But Jimmy's strength, his skill, is helping new authors with their best launch possible in Amazon and getting at the top of whatever categories they're in, assuming, you know, they're, you know, realistic categories to get number one in. And so I noticed that Jimmy and Ellery teamed up. They worked together. They did a relaunch of Ellery's book, and it hit number one in a couple of categories. And I saw the screenshots on Facebook and stuff, and I just thought, wow, that's fantastic. Good for Ellery. Obviously, this guy Jimmy knows what he's doing. And I thought, that's it. You know, I could repurpose that presentation from the Paradise Group, you know, a few months back, and I could probably, you know, sit down and just be real dedicated over a couple of weeks and just really pound that out and share the best I can. I'm not really a writer, but do my best to translate that into a Kindle book. And I bet I could have a book ready by Podcast Movement. So I presented that idea to this guy, Jimmy. He thought it was a great idea. So we went all in on it. I worked really hard on it. And I had some blogger friends give me some advice, because I'm not a writer, I'm a podcaster, and worked it out. And next thing you know, the book was ready, and we launched it that Friday. That was our official launch, and it did really well, David. It surprised me how well it did. Now, let's not kid ourselves. It was a 99-cent book, and there was two major podcasting events going on. There's Podcast Movement, obviously, which was a huge deal, and then there was also a smaller conference going on in the UK, and so on that Saturday. So we leveraged both hashtags, and, you know, had people from both groups obviously getting the book. And man, it was just exciting. It was fun. And it encouraged my wife, because my wife, like, never thought I'd write a book. And she saw me working through that process. And then she helped me pick the cover of the book. And, you know, she's like, is he really writing a book? And then she saw it in Amazon. She was excited. And then she saw it hit number one in three categories. And that just pumped her up. It got her excited. It made her believe even more in podcasting and what's going on in this world and the different things that I'm working on. And I would say it was worth it just for that.
How cool is that, number one? And number two, did you hear him say, I'm not a writer? But a guy that said, I'm not a writer, just explained how his book went to number one in his categories. So keep that in mind. It kind of goes in with last week's episode when we talked about the things that hold you back from podcasting, and one of those is fear. Here, he was like, well, let's see what happens. I'll take this and put it into a Kindle book. I got some help from Jimmy, who's this book guy, and following his advice, what do you know? And it became a hit. And I understand why. It's a great book. So let's go back to Jared. Well, let me read you a review here. First of all, right now, as we record this, you have 64 reviews, all of them 5 stars, except three. And that was a 4-star. So we need to find those 3 people and politely smack them. But check this. This is what I put. I said, it's a quick and easy read with action items aplenty. You need to read the book. And then here's the thing. You need to go back, because you have, it's such a Jared thing, man. You are like Mr. Connections guy, that as you go through the book, it's stuff like you read the content, but you're like, oh, here's another great resource. And I was constantly reading the book and hitting links and watching that. And then I'd go back. And so the actual reading of the book was almost like this whole experience, because I'm hitting all the links that you put in there. So there's tons of links and resources. And it said, and if you ever wondered if some actions work, because some of these things are not earth-shattering, like, I don't know, maybe mention your listener in your podcast. Now, we've all said that, but the cool thing is you give both the podcaster perspective, but also you're an avid podcast listener, and you explain like how when you heard Cliff Ravenscraft mention you in his show, like it just makes us all giddy when we hear our name in the show. So you explain, here's some things that people have done And then you also talk about, and here's the reaction they got. And that's, to me, I was like, okay, this is cool. This is like a white paper that explains, here's some things that you can do, and here's the results that you can, at least from this example, expect. And that, to me, just made my brain explode. And when you can get me thinking and charged up, I'm ready to go. So
awesome.
Yeah. And now here's the fun part. I'm flying home from Podcast Movement, and I'm walking around the Dallas airport getting ready to fly back to Houston, and I see a guy with a Podcast Movement shirt on. And I'm like, all right, I guess I could sit anywhere, but let's sit next to this guy. I know he's a podcaster. And I'm like, hey, I'm Dave Jackson. I see you went to Podcast Movement. He's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And I said, man, it was just a great, one of the best events I've ever been to. I can't believe it was their first time. It was awesome. And this guy's name, Jimmy Burgess.
How funny.
And he goes, yeah, I know. He goes, I actually helped him with his book and blah, blah, blah. And he said, you're a guy that knows everybody. And I'm like, well, how coincidental that, you know, your book is How to Grow Your Podcast Through Collaboration. Let's go back like two, what would that be? Because this is the whole thing. The New Media Expo keeps changing their name. But like two New Media Expos ago, you really wanted to go, but you didn't. And then how did you tell the story about how you kind of got involved with some of the people that you really looked up to?
Well, I didn't have a podcast at the time, David, and I was starting to listen to podcasts like some people are now, and they find your show and they get excited and they just want to consume everything and download everything. And I was that guy. And at that particular time, I started hearing everybody on all the shows I was listening to talk about New Media Expo. And this was the summer of 2012. So this was in New York City. And at the time, financially, right or wrong, small baby, so on and so forth, just couldn't make it work. And I remember that was crushing for me, as cheesy as that sounds. You know, I felt so connected on some level to these podcasters that I really wanted to go to this and be around them and connect with the people that were going to be there. And I wasn't able to go. And I remember seeing the pictures that flooded in on Facebook when it was going on and people having a good time. And then there was meetups. And I remember the meetups really caught my attention because I thought that's where the money is. You know, you obviously have great sessions and stuff, but then people hanging out afterwards and or beforehand or whatever it is. And I didn't really think too much of that until later when I was planning to go to New Media Expo in January of 2013. I wanted to make the maximum impact that I could and connect with as many people as I could. And I had not started the podcast yet. I had had a few ideas, but I just hadn't started. And I figured going to New Media Expo was going to be the thing that really, you know, got me in gear and fired me up. And so I was talking with a buddy of mine and we were talking strategy. Yeah, we got to go to this and we got to do that. And then it occurred to me, hey, there's meetups. There's going to be meetups. So, you know, these guys are going to do meetups. Remember seeing the pictures in Facebook and Twitter and then it just dawned on me. Dave was like, I wonder who sets those up. You know, did they set that up themselves? Yeah, that's probably a lot of work. Hey, maybe that's something I could do for them. And I'm like, well, I've never done a meetup. I don't know anything about that, you know, but you know, why not? So
why not? That is one of the keys here. And here again, he said, well, remember, I wasn't a writer, but I guess I'll write a book. Well, I've never organized a meetup, but I guess I could do that. You've probably heard this quote from Zig Ziglar. You can have everything in life you want if you will just help other people get what they want. And you'll hear that kind of theme throughout this entire conversation. Let's go back to Jared.
Reached out to my buddy and I, we reached out to John Lee Dumas, and he was so brand new at that time, David. Like, he had not accomplished anything that he has up to this point. He was very, very new, but he was getting a lot of buzz because he was interviewing a lot of really big names of people that are real popular in certain spaces online. And so John, we reached out to John, said, John, you know, we love the show. We know you're going to be speaking at New Media Expo. We would love to host your meetup. And John's like, oh man, that'd be great. That'd be awesome. And so we did. We organized the first Fire Nation meetup. And it's a funny story, David, because that particular meetup was held the night before New Media Expo got started that particular year. And it was at the In-N-Out Burger that was close to the Rio Casino. And there was a total of four people that showed up to this thing.
Well, on the other hand, you know, to me, I always say embrace your small audience because you can make a really, really big connection. I mean, when he was at the House of Blues, a podcast movement, he looked like it was like a scene out of The Godfather, man. Everybody's crowded around the table.
Yeah, it was nowhere near that level. I was just four people, and I bought his In-N-Out Burger. I think he got a double-double, and I actually paid for that. And I was excited to do it. And so we sat there and had, you know, a burger with John Lee Dumas, and he's sitting there talking about Entrepreneur Fire and what he's up to and how he got into it. And I recorded that conversation on my iPhone. I was so excited. I know it sounds horrible, but
it doesn't sound horrible. It sounds like somebody who's excited to meet a podcaster. I would love to hear that particular, I'm sure you got the recording somewhere. That would be interesting. Either give it to John or somebody just to see. Here was a guy, this was before John Lee Dumas was John Lee Dumas. How cool was that? And it's a beautiful thing that they did that. And here again, what's the worst that could have happened? Jared could have said, hey, John, would you like me to help you organize your meetup? And John would go, no, that's right, I got it. But he went ahead, moved ahead, took some action, and made a great connection.
I had an app on my iPhone. I just hit record and put it on the table. So, because it was so cool at the time. And
absolutely.
Okay, so that was one meetup. But the point of this is, David, is I didn't have any experience in meetups, but I thought that might be a way to connect with someone. And it totally worked because we reached out to John, said, who's doing this for you? And he's like, actually, nobody, but I was wanting to do one. Well, we went to a couple other people like Jason and Jeremy from Internet Business Mastery, went to Cliff Ravenscraft, and I think that was it that particular year. But we went to several people and said, hey, can I do this for you? Can I organize your meetup? And they were all quick to say, oh, man, you would do this. I don't have to call these people. I don't have to get menus. I don't have to, you know, you'll do all this for me. Yeah, absolutely. And they didn't know me at all, so maybe that was a little bit risky on their part. But I reached out, got menus, found restaurants, found whatever information they needed, got them in contact with the right people. And next thing you know, it was almost a seamless turnaround for them. Like Jason and Jeremy had a meetup at the buffet there at the Rio, and I got all that in line. So all they had to do was basically send an email and then fax in an authorization form or whatever it was. It was pretty easy.
And the great thing is, again, in the book, Podcasting Good to Great, How to Grow Your Audience Through Collaboration, which you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/426, he has a section on how to hold a meetup. Let's go back to Jared.
And Cliff was able to help coordinate his meetup. So next thing you know is I'm connected with these guys. And Pat Flynn had already done his meetup. He had already organized it. I guess he was an overachiever and he'd already planned it. But I went to him and I was like, hey, I did meetups with all these other guys. Maybe if you do another meetup, I know you're going to be speaking a lot this year. Maybe I could help you plan that. And he was like, yeah, let's do it. And so sure enough, after New Media Expo, I was connecting with Pat and I was helping him schedule meetups in different cities he was going to for different conferences. And that's kind of how I started to get connected with those guys. It was never, you know, this cheesy fanboy thing. It was just like, hey, you're going to be here. Let me help you set up your meetup. And that created a powerful rapport between me and them so that later on when I did launch the show, those guys were real quick to be guests on it or to give me an opinion or whatever. And I try not to leverage that, but it definitely worked in the sense of giving me a connection with them.
Now, does your background have anything remotely close to like an organizer or what's your background?
No, not at all. I mean, I had a project management background, but you know, meetups and events and things like that. No, I've never messed with any of that. I do enjoy going to events, but I've never planned them or organized them at all. So this was maybe a little bit of a scary thing, but at the same time, I was like, you know, I can figure it out. I can always ask questions. I can learn what I don't know. And it's not like they were paying me. So I figured that was the best way to learn. And the results were always great. You know, the meetups were really, really good. People had a great time. There was all these pictures for social proof on Facebook and whatever. And you know, I may not have gotten mentioned in those posts, but there were some times that I did and then other times I didn't. But
and here's the thing. Notice he doesn't really care here that he's in the picture. It's nice that he's in the picture in some cases, but that wasn't his goal. Listen to the true takeaway from this.
At the end of the day, the people that I helped, they knew I helped them.
Yep.
So
absolutely. And the thing I like about the book is I was thinking about this. I don't think there's an idea in here where it's, well, sit there and the people will come. It's all about reaching out. It's reaching and connecting with people. That's not, there's no, as much as it's smart passive income, there's not a whole lot that's passive in the book here. And one of the ideas that I wanted to talk about, because when I read it, I was like, really? And you even kind of mentioned that it's like, you know, I was going to say, really? Was telemarketing, or not telemarketing, teleseminars.
Teleseminars, yeah.
Telemarketing's a whole other way to grow your audience.
Right.
Teleseminars, and you're trying to explain how there's someone that you've heard use this technique. And can you kind of explain like how they're connecting? Because you said that you actually called in and you're connecting with other audience members as well as the person that was running the teleseminar. And give us a little behind the scenes on that.
Well, when I heard the word teleseminar, I thought of, man, that's an old school technology. That makes me think of beepers or something. Nobody really uses that. But the reality is there are a lot of people that use conference call technology, and they don't necessarily jump into the webinars yet because their target listener, their target audience knows how to dial a phone. Right. And they want to make it as simple as possible. And this gentleman named Kerry Oberbrunner, who's also in Ohio, by the way, David, it's a great guy. Kerry basically has a group that he does, you know, different calls with, group calls. And he uses freeconferencing.com, which is a completely free resource for people to host conference calls. And it works and it's simple. And I remember thinking, I don't know about this, but I dialed in and I listened and I was wowed. I was like, you know, people were interacting and it was a big group phone call that was, of course, organized and structured, and there was a framework with it. But at the end of the call, I was like, man, that's fantastic. I'm not having to sit in front of my computer. I actually went for a walk around my neighborhood, and I thought, you know, that was a cool experience. I wasn't having to sit, you know, and watch a webinar where I had to, you know, pay attention to all these slides or whatever and type in a chat box. I could just be on the call and listen, or I could, you know, maybe jump in or whatever. But I just thought that's innovative, even though it's an old technology. That's different. What if podcasters had an idea and just said to their listeners, hey, by the way, let's just jump on a conference call. Maybe some people would do that. And that may not be a big deal to the host, but it would be a big deal to the listener who gets a chance to be on that call with you and actually interact with you. And Cliff does this from time to time. I've not seen him do it all the time, but I see him every now and then do the TalkShoe method. And I've never really used TalkShoe myself, but Cliff uses TalkShoe, which is an app that allows you also to host conference calls. And he'll do a little post that says, hey, I'm going out for a walk and I'm going to be on TalkShoe and here's the conference line. And next thing you know, 7-8 people call in and people are just talking on this call. And it's fun. It's different. It's a unique experience with the host, or the host has with the audience. And so I told people who are reading the book, hey, here's an opportunity. It may not be for you, but it's something you could try. It wouldn't cost you any money. And you could have really powerful results where the people who dial into that call just have a deeper connection, or they have a perceived deeper connection with you because you were on a phone call with them.
And I want to jump in here. A service that I've used, also free, is called uberconference.com. That's U-B-E-R conference.com. If you use the free account, you can have up to 10 callers. If you go for a whopping $10, you can have 100 people on the call. You can actually dial out. These all tie in with Facebook and Google Plus and profiles. And the thing I like about it is if you're going to be doing it weekly or monthly, you can actually set it up ahead of time and your fan base can kind of say, yes, I want to attend this. And then when it comes time for the call, they'll actually get a text that says, hey, the call is happening. It's really, really cool. The other thing I like about Uber Conference is the fact that their recording quality, while it's not CD stereo, it is better than any other service I've played with. Now, I haven't played with the one that Jared mentioned, but most of them are like 32 kilobits per second, maybe 64, but it's 64 stereo. This was 96. So pretty cool. And you can actually have it set up that as soon as everybody connects, it starts recording automatically. And it's free. Like I said, if you want to check it out for up to 10 people, it's Uber Conference. There's also an app for them. So that's if you want to do a teleconference, that would be my recommended resource. Let's get back to Jared. Yeah, it makes you more accessible and it just grows that connection. All right, you ready for a pop quiz?
I'll do my best.
This might be edit point one. Do you remember how you met Matt Lovell?
I believe I met Matt Lovell through my podcast and through Twitter, I believe.
It is. That's the correct answer, Twitter.
Okay, yeah.
But here's the thing, because he told me this story, and I was like, that's cool. That somehow he had, like, you know, mentioned you in a tweet, and you actually tweeted him back, and he, like, tweeted you back, and then you said, time for a chat. And he was like, all right, direct messaged back his phone number, and you actually called him.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of it. Okay, so I'm going to pause that here, and let's go now to Matt, where you can find him at mindthegap.net. And it's interesting here. We talk about these little things that you can do. Things like, you know, when I said John's name at the beginning of the show here from Let's Talk Metal Detecting and Treasure Hunting.com, John was probably going, wow, he just said John Morgan. Did you hear him? That's cool. I mean, I get that way when John C. Dvorak sent me a voicemail once. I was like, oh my gosh, it's John C. Dvorak. I talked about it a couple weeks ago. Philip Keller, better known as Trapper Jack here in Cleveland. Trapper Jack left me a voicemail. It's kind of cool. And so here is Matt's side of this story. Check this out. This is really, and listen to this. There's some really cool, just, I'll stop it when he says it, but there's some really cool stuff here. All right, take it away, Matt.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Matt Lovell here, host of the newly launched Minding the Gap podcast. And this is sort of a because of any podcast story. And, you know, in the interest of full disclosure, it's one that you asked me to record and send to you. We were having breakfast in Cleveland and I told this story to you and you wanted to use it as a part of a larger presentation. And so it comes down to the power of a connection and a random phone call. And when you asked me to retell this story, I really started doing some digging. And fortunately, due to the internet, we all leave trails of breadcrumbs in our social media. So I was able to really dive into your question, which was about a telephone call that I happened to randomly have with Jared Easley on the evening of December 20th. 2013, and the impact that that phone call has had on my life thus far. You know, the story goes that I got into podcasting, as kind of just a listener and pursuing it sometime around the middle of 2013, I suppose. And, you know, I started listening to folks like Eric Fisher and you and Cliff Ravenscraft and many, many others that I could name off. But, you know, I really wasn't thinking about starting my own podcast until later that year. And the idea came up, you know, maybe I could go to New Media Expo. And I happened to be asking the opinion of Eric Fisher one night. And he said, you know, the best thing to do if you're worried about meeting people or you want to know how to meet people is just connect with these folks online, reach out to them on Twitter and say, hey, I'm excited about meeting you at New Media Expo. And under his advice, I made a Twitter list and, you know, I guess I started just interacting with people. And so being able to trace it back, I wasn't really certain where the first interaction with Jared came from. But what I was able to trace was an episode of the podcast report, which was done by Cliff Ravenscraft and Eric Fisher. And on that particular episode, they had Dustin Hartzler on that episode. And he was talking about a meetup that he was co-hosting along with Jared Easley, one of the mornings of New Media Expo. So I realized that I made a tweet or something that said, hey, I'm looking forward to this meetup. And I tagged Dustin and I tagged Jared. And, you know, from that point, Jared replied and was like, oh, I'm looking forward to meeting you at New Media Expo. And oddly enough, the date on that, which I found in my email because I don't delete anything, I found that was dated December 17th. Well, then on December 20th, I had an assignment for a photography contracting job that was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I am from Atlanta. So that was about a 10-hour drive for me. And I was on my way back on December 20th, and it was late because I had to leave half the day because I had another commitment on the 21st. So I had to be home by the 21st. So I was leaving Baton Rouge at somewhere around 4 o'clock in the afternoon and expecting to get in really late. I had planned dinner with a friend of mine, who many folks may know, James Woosley. And so I was stopping in Mobile, Alabama for dinner. And there I was sitting after dinner with James. I was sitting in the parking lot of this Ruby Tuesday in Mobile, Alabama. And I posted a tweet that I was wondering, or that I had been listening to Jared's podcast along the way, and I was hooked on it. And he had episodes with Jeff Goins, among other people. And the question I asked was, what is your favorite episode of Star of the Doubts? And
I'm gonna pause him there. Now check this out. So here's a guy that discovered a podcast. He really liked it. And what did he do? He took to the internet and goes, hey, I'm addicted to this show. And you'll hear him say, the question he asked here is, what's your favorite episode? But I've said, when you create content that has impact with people, they will tell other people. And that's exactly what Matt did. And what happened is that people just like Matt, just like Jared, came out of the woodwork to answer that question. Let's go back to Matt.
And I posted a tweet that I was wondering, or that I had been listening to Jared's podcast along the way, and I was hooked on it. And he had episodes with Jeff Goins, among other people. And the question I asked was, what is your favorite episode of Star of the Doubts? And I got responses within seconds, literally seconds. People were saying, oh, this episode, and oh, that episode. And tweets started going back and forth. And it felt really cool, because at that point, like, I'm really was nobody. And, you know, all of a sudden this social interaction was happening as a result of just throwing it out there. And so I'm like, okay, I got these episodes, and I queued them up. And just as I'm getting ready to pull out on the road, I get a direct message, and it's from Jared. And in true Jared Easley fashion, it simply said, permission to chat. And if you've ever got a message like that from Jared, you know exactly how simple and straightforward that is.
Now, listen to how he describes the upcoming phone call here. Check this out.
It was exciting, you know, and I my heart rate started being like, what does this mean? Does this mean what I think it means? And I replied, because I was like, no, he doesn't want to talk to me. No way. And so I simply replied. I said, well, I'm on the road, so it'd have to be a phone call. If you're up for that, here's my phone number. And so I get on the road and I have my headset in, so it's safe-ish to do this. And so Jared calls.
Okay, I'm just pausing here. Again, I say, listen to how he describes the connection and the call.
And, you know, at the time I'm having kind of this like fanboy-esque moment, right? Where I'm talking to, you know, this podcaster, this New Media Expo speaker, this person that, you know, at the time seemed totally this lofty, untouchable person to me. And we talked, no kidding, for 2.5 hours. On my ride home. And the conversation ranged from New Media Expo to life, to podcasting, to goals and aspirations. And I mean, pretty much anything that two friends would talk about that had known each other forever. And it was an instant connection, even though we had never actually met in person.
We talked like people who had known each other forever. There was an instant connection. And this is one of the things that's really cool about podcasting. Is when I meet people that listen to my show, in general, they don't take life too serious. We're serious about maybe changing the world and making the world a better place, but we like to have fun. We like to laugh. You're probably somewhere between 20 and 60, and you like to laugh. You like to have a good time, and you love podcasting. And so when I meet anybody that listens to my show, I've never met a listener that I go, man, I hope I don't meet that guy again. Because we're all very similar. Hence, there is that instant connection. And, you know, the other phrase he said here, I put down here, the power of a connection. I think that's the name of this episode, the power of a connection, because it is amazing. And one of the things that Jared says, now, Jared does not say, hey, everybody go call your listeners, because he realizes, you'll hear him when he talks about this here in a second. But it's these kind of little things that can really impact your audience. And in the book, he asks, what if you did this to 5 people a week? What would that do for your audience growth? Let's go back to Matt.
And, you know, to keep this as brief as possible, the influence that had, as I was explaining to Jared about having come, or, you know, making the decision to come out of a 5-year-long career as a photographer, and my wife and I were in transition at this point and not knowing where we were going to go next. I was working full-time at a restaurant while I figured out where I wanted to go. And you know, at that point, Jared said, you know, I might have something for you. And just demonstrating even at that time, the influencer and the connector that he was, happened to reach into his past and pull out a name for me of somebody that did contract work in the food and beverage IT field. And, you know, was able to get me in touch with that person and move me into a position, or allowed me to move myself into a position really of a much more lucrative line of work that has allowed my wife and I to this, to, you know, to date that as I'm recording this, it's early September 2014. So 9 months later, to be in a much better financial situation than we were 9 months ago, and to have paid off some debt and have money in reserve and have just bettered ourselves as a result of this one phone call that coincidence or happenstance or however you want to phrase it, what other influences, spiritual influences, whatnot that you believe in happened to your lives. I know for me personally, it wasn't a coincidence that that conversation was meant to happen that night. But for all these things that that come out of it, I've tried to give Jared credit for it. He refuses to take it.
There you go. There's the attitude. Humble. Nah, it's all right. I'm just a dude.
In kind of the humble fashion that he lives, but it was remarkable. And having the opportunity to kind of trace back those breadcrumbs, Dave, that you asked me to trace, or that, you know, you want me to retell the story, but tracing back those breadcrumbs and finding what little things it took and how any one little missing thing could have led the whole thing to not have ever happened. And thank you for allowing me to tell you this story, because what it allowed for me is to reinforce how important every single small social interaction is, because you never know when that one social interaction is going to lead to the next step or the next thing that could literally change your life. I did meet Jared in person at New Media Expo. We've stayed in contact and been in touch several times since then. Again, I saw him at Podcast Movement. You know, it's been remarkable the journey that he's taken this year. And I'm just very happy to call him a friend. So I hope that's what you're looking for, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
And thanks so much for the opportunity. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Matt, thank you so much. You can find him again at mindingthegap.net. And I'm going to peel back the curtain here. When he sent that email to me, I said, dude, because I'm kind of a dude kind of guy. This was awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Very, very, very cool. Exactly what I was looking for. And today I got an email back from Matt, and he says, awesome. You made my day. Okay. Not sure how, but that's cool. And we do like to kind of just help each other. And because to me, when he told me that story at Denny's, when he came to Cleveland, and by the way, Matt, next time you're in town, buddy, Denny's is on me. And what's really cool is I do have a couple people that have been coming to town. And if you're ever in Cleveland, let me know ahead of time. I'm no means a great tour guide of Cleveland because I grew up in Akron, Ohio. But I know where Denny's is. We could probably hit the Hard Rock next time, something like that. But now let's go back to Matt and see. We'll continue on with this side of the story. But see how that little thing that Jared did. Hey, you want to chat for a second? What an impact. Amazing. All right, so let's go back to Jared. And again, everything we talk about today, you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/426. Again, the book is called Podcasting Good to Great, How to Grow Your Audience Through Collaboration. How often are you just calling your listeners?
I mean, when you tell that story, it makes it sound like I'm doing it all the time. I'm not doing it every day, but I do try to get to know listeners. And I'm, David, I don't know if where you fall on this particular topic, but there's been so many books like Platform by Michael Hyatt and Tribes by Seth Godin. And there's all these little fancy buzzwords going around like followers and tribes and, you know, all this stuff. And I've never really liked those words because I don't want to feel like a number. I don't want to feel like a follower. I don't want to feel like someone on your email list. Like, I want to feel like a person. And I try to treat people like friends. And yeah, they might be my follower on Twitter, but I don't look at them that way. I look at them as, hey, this is a potential friend. And so I try to treat everyone that way. And I realize, you know, someone like, we'll just pick on Pat Flynn. Pat Flynn's got a really big audience now, and that may not be realistic for him to go have phone calls and go do stuff. But Ask Pat is Genius. That's his show where he has Q&A and he uses SpeakPipe, which I know you're familiar with, David. Mm-hmm. And he allows, you know, the person to ask the question, and then he features them on that podcast. And gives them good advice, but also shares that out with the community, and then has an archived library of valuable answers to questions people want to know. And he can share out those previous episodes to people that ask that question later on. I mean, that's a unique way to generously connect with your audience when you grow. But in the beginning, when you don't have a big audience, it doesn't hurt to get out and have a phone call. If you're not willing to do that, then you're probably not likely to go a long way in podcasting, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, there's a running gag on my show where I've been mentioning the name Steve Stewart for about, I don't know, 4 months straight. Somehow I worked in it. And the reason for
Cowboy
that,
Steve Stewart.
Yep. That's it, is because the one day he sent me a question via email, and he had his phone number and his signature. And I thought, you know, I could sit here and type out an answer for about 10 minutes, or I could just call this guy back and have a 3-minute conversation and answer it. And I called him up and he's like, "This is really Dave Jackson." I'm like, "Yeah, it's just, you know, I'm just a dude." And he's like, "Wow, this is cool." And we must have had like a 25-minute conversation, and he's a great guy, a good old Cowboy Steve. And yeah, when he comes to Cleveland in a couple weeks here, we're going to have dinner. So again, the power of your signature. Get your address, your email, not your, your website address. And if you want your phone number, get a Google voicemail, go to podcast voicemail if you're worried about somebody getting your real phone number, and get one of those. And so that's been like the running gag, as he was always calling in and leaving messages. And he's like, "Man, I swear you mentioned my name in every show." I'm like, "That's it. That's going to be the running gag now." And Steve, I'm sorry. I have to start mentioning other people in the show. So with great honor and great love and respect, I'm retiring the Steve Stewart gag. I know, I'm sorry, but I still love you, buddy. But I got to start mentioning other people's names in the show. Continuing on with Jared. But here again, it was just a phone call. You know, just going something a little extra more creates that connection. And in your book really is a lot of like, here's a way that you can do just a little bit more maybe than what other people are doing. And it's that little icing on the cake then that creates that collaboration, creates that relationship, and then that then leads to, you know, raving fans or just I'm with you. Tribe and follower always seems weird, but your cheering section, your support group.
Yep. That, and I talk about this in the first chapter of the book for anybody who you know hasn't checked it out or is considering that. When you're by yourself, nobody really notices. But if you have an army, people notice when you have an army. But how in the world do you build an army? And I talk about, you know, you start by noticing other people first. And if you can begin by generously noticing them, you mentioned how you mentioned Steve Stewart and some of these different strategies you talked about that are authentic and sincere. If they're not authentic and sincere, David, you know, when people are not for real. And when someone's not for real, it's like, okay, whatever. But if someone's genuine, then that has the power to create rapport. And then if you create that rapport and you're consistent in that, that over time generates reciprocity, where if you're just there saying, "Hey, I'm Dave Jackson, look at me," some people aren't going to care. But if you have multiple people saying, "Look at Dave Jackson, look at Dave Jackson," people will listen to that. They will take notice of that. And that can happen over time if you're first noticing other people, because eventually those people will say, "Hey, let me tell you about Dave Jackson." And this is a powerful thing, but it really works. That rapport generates that reciprocity. And then once you have that reciprocity happen with multiple people, it starts to take notice. It's never you shouting from the mountaintop, you know, "Me, me, me." It's everyone else pointing to you. But what people don't see is they don't see how many times, Dave, that you hooked them up, right? They don't know, you know, the countless times you mention them or shared their link or whatever it is. But all they see is everybody else saying, "Man, we love Dave Jackson."
Well, and the fun part of that is it takes time to help enough people that they then start turning around and pointing at you. And I think that's where a lot of people maybe fall short, is they want to have that, the fingers pointing at them a little quicker than maybe expected.
Yeah, well, I explain that in the book. It's a plant the garden mentality. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen overnight. It does take time. But for those of who are serious and really wanting to genuinely connect with people, then they'll be willing to do that, and they'll find that it works.
Yeah. Have you seen or have you done any strategies that you thought were going to work, and then you're like, "Yeah, that didn't connect."
Well, all the time, man. I'm all the time testing something, and and it doesn't necessarily happen. And we try to podcast. This is hilarious, but it's true. We try to podcast for Podcast Movement, and the idea was Podcast Movement Conversations. And the idea is that, David, you and I would have a chat, and then I interview you, right? And then the next thing is you have a chat with Billy, and you interview Billy, and then Billy interviews somebody else. And it's kind of like a chain interview where everybody's the star, you know, they get interviewed, and then they get to pay it forward and interview someone else. And the idea, I thought, oh, this is going to work. This is going to be great because all these people are going to share it with their friends because it's about them and whatever, and it didn't work. We did about 9 episodes, and it just didn't catch on. So, and partly, I think maybe it was a reasonable idea, but we were just overwhelmed with other details of the event. But that's one example. You know, we tested it, and it didn't really resonate, but maybe we could have tweaked it, and maybe we'll try it again down the road. But right out of the gate, it wasn't quite like I was hoping it would be.
But the good thing is you tried it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, that's the thing I love, is anytime somebody tries something different, and even if it doesn't work, then you, as a teacher, I have to say, they're not mistakes. They're learning opportunities.
Well said. Yeah. It's in iTunes if people want to look it up, Podcast Movement Conversations. And you'll see there's only about 8 or 9 episodes, but you know, the effort was there. Just didn't quite deliver. But.
Well, your book inspired me, man. You're looking at the, I have no members, but I am the organizer of the Cleveland Podcasters Meetup. So now I've just got to find some Cleveland podcasters and, I will interrupt there. It's at clevelandpodcasters.com. And I actually do have, I think I have 4 or 5 people now. We're meeting on, you guessed it, National Podcast Day, September 30th. And it's a suburb of Cleveland called Garfield Heights. And for more information, or if you know of anybody that would like to come to this, it's a Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, clevelandpodcasters.com. I've got a location. I've got a date. We can do it once a month. It's going to be awesome. I just got to find all the Cleveland podcasters and make it happen now.
Well, you're connected with enough people to help figure out and identify who those people are. So yeah. I think, you know, my conversations with Cliff, my conversations with John Lee Dumas and Rob and some of these other folks that you know, I don't think it's going to be that hard for you to start figuring out who's in that area, or even if they're not right in Cleveland, you know, how far away is Columbus? You know, is that close enough where somebody would drive for a Saturday night podcast meetup? Maybe, you know, things to try.
That's right. Throw it on the wall and see if it sticks.
There you go.
So, man, I know you got to run here soon. So, again, the book is called Podcasting Good to Great, How to Grow Your Audience Through Collaboration by Jared Easley. And Easley, by the way, Easley. And I, you know, 2 thumbs up and a couple fingers and a knee and a toe up, man. It was a great book. And thank you so much for coming on and sharing about it.
Oh, Dave, my pleasure, man. I love what you do, and you just did an outstanding job at Podcast Movement. So it's just a huge honor to chat with you tonight. Thank you.
And there you go. Awesome guy. Now, I'm telling you, when we talk about making things unique, go check out his website. It's starvethedoubts.com. And he interviews basically just cool and interesting people. And he has, in some ways, different... Well, if you read his book, you'll hear how he does his podcast, which then, when you listen to his podcast, is kind of cool because you've got the behind-the-scenes stuff. But it's a really cool podcast. I liked it, been listening to it, mainly because of my music background. They usually end up talking about favorite concerts and things like that. But again, you can see here that, number one, the power of a single connection can lead to many, many different things. And it's great when I connect with somebody and I can help them. That makes me feel awesome. And when you connect with somebody and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, we heard Matt say, wow, this is the big podcast guy. We're just people. And what do you do in all these cases? You hear about people reaching out. You hear about Jared reaching out to John Lee Dumas and Pat Flynn. He just reached out. What are they going to do? Say no? Okay. I think I can live with a no. Because at least then I can go to bed at night knowing that at least I tried. And that's what I've been saying. Put your fears down. What's the worst that can happen? Instead of thinking about those, what if would happen if it really took off? What's the best thing that could happen? So here Jared is now one of the guys that helped organize Podcast Movement. And you heard him say it himself. He's only been podcasting, you know, a little under 2 years. Because he wasn't afraid. When in doubt, I'll just ask some people who know what they're doing. And the rest is history at this point. So I hope you found that entertaining. I hope you found it inspiring. I know what's interesting is I do a live show on Saturday at askthepodcastcoach.com/live every Saturday, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. You can tune in. And I actually watched a meetup organized in my chat room. The one week when Matt was here in Cleveland, he was like, oh, I'm in Atlanta. And somebody else was like, well, I'm in Atlanta too. I'm in Atlanta. We should meet up. You know, go out and see who's in your area. Reach out to fellow podcasters. Reach out to fellow podcasters who are in your genre, especially. Man, is that huge. That's why I always talk about Daniel J. Lewis from the audacitytopodcast.com, Ray Ortega from podcastersroundtable.com and podcasterstudio.com. Reach out to those people, especially because we all keep each other up to speed on what's going on. It's great to have a friend in the business. So I could go on and on and on, but if you now are interested in saying, you know what, I'm not going to be afraid anymore. I'm going to ask some questions. I'm going to get some guy, I don't know, main Dave Jackson to help me do a podcast. Go out to schoolofpodcasting.com, click on the join now button, use the coupon code LISTENER, LASTENER, and you'll save off your first month. Again, everything I mentioned here, you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/426. I should mention, if you don't even have a website yet, send me an email. It's dave@schoolofpodcasting.com with the subject line quick start. And what happens here is I'll send you a link to order hosting. I earn a commission from that. I take that commission and give you a free month at the School of Podcasting. Plus, I'll install WordPress and kind of get you going in that area. That's actually what Matt did over at, again, you can find him at mindingthegap.net. Want to thank John Morgan again for, let me find his website, letstalkmetaldetectingandtreasurehunting.com. Want to thank the immortal Steve Stewart from moneyplansos.com for just being a cool guy. And I want to thank you for listening. I can't wait till next week. We've got a lot of great interviews. Rob from Rob Has a Website and Survivor fame is coming on the show. We've got a lot of Last Five and Fives. We've got a lot of great stuff. And I keep getting more and more ideas. Keep them coming. schoolofpodcasting.com/contact is how you can reach me. And until next week, live today like it's your last one. Live tomorrow like it's your first. And don't ever let your problems bring out your worst. Don't ever take your mind off. Whatever is your goal, be true to yourself and follow your soul. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Take care. Class dismissed, and God bless.